psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, the voice you trust for the family you love.
The first thing you got to say is, gosh, if I don't have the money, I can't afford it. Sounds like grandmother.
That's not an appendix. That's not a blob of tissue. It is a baby.
Rarely, when we're doing this broadcast, do I feel my blood pressure go up, because what we just heard there is difficult to comprehend.
This is Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
In 2009, there were about 1.5 million children who were learning at home. And Ryan, I would imagine many of our listeners fall into that category.
I'm sure they do. You know, the homeschooling movement has just exploded in the last few years. That's actually a 75% increase from what it was 10 years ago.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. My boys actually attend a charter school here in town, and there's a real strong partnership with the homeschooling movement. So we rub shoulders with a lot of these families. And Doctor, I'm actually curious to find out a whole lot more about this today.
Well, we're going to find out a lot about it because we have a couple here with us today that's equipped to answer the practical questions that are posed by the homeschooling idea. It can be a challenge, and it can be a tremendous blessing. For those that didn't hear our program last time, we aired an interview that I conducted with Dr. Ray Moore in 1981. That was 29 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be self-serving about this, but I really do believe that was the beginning of the modern homeschools movement, because most parents, including Shirley and me, had not heard of it, didn't even know that it was an option until Dr. Moore brought this idea to our program. And I'm telling you, we were flooded with response. And many of the questions that we're going to talk about today were introduced to us at that time.
Well, it seemed like a radical concept, but it's become very mainstream, so it's
good to address it. Oh, yeah, and people were angry about it. How dare you take a kid out of school and do it at home, even when you're not a teacher?
Yep.
I mean, the teachers' organizations were angry about it. Many pastors didn't like it, and many parents didn't like it, and it just stood the test of time and has done so well that it has found a place in our culture now. Dr. Moore went on to become the guru of this wonderful idea, and we became very good friends. He actually went to USC in the same program I did on child development. That's how I met him. I heard about him and invited him to come. And from that point on, we went on to have him on the broadcast at least a dozen times and maybe more than that. Now, homeschooling isn't for everybody, and there are some attractive alternatives out there for families. But I believe in home education, and I want our listeners to at least know about this option and understand and get answers to some of the questions that commonly come up. And that's why we have two guests here today that have been in the thick of the homeschools movement. They're parents and they're organizers of a homeschools ministry, and I'm delighted to have them here. They are Heidi and Jay St. John, and they have six children and a seventh on the way.
That's right.
I say that with real trepidation. You know, I made a mistake one time. I asked a lady if she was pregnant or when her baby was going to be born.
Oh, no.
And she wasn't pregnant.
Oh, that's not
And
a good
I
thing.
Said, never again, as long as I live.
I think we've all done that.
Will I do that? And she didn't let me off the hook.
No.
I'm telling you, she was mad at me. And I couldn't get the words back in my mouth after I'd said them. So I
can
take a real chance
you.
With you.
Yeah, no chances
You've got
here.
Number seven
yes,
on the
I'm
way.
6 months along, so.
Well, that was a pretty good guess.
That's good.
But it was last time, too, and I was wrong.
Oh, no.
Six children you've homeschooled, and the oldest, Savannah, just graduated from high school, and only one of your children has attended a public school.
That's right. Savannah, our oldest, started in school, and we pulled her out in second grade. So she went through traditional school through the second grade, but none of the other children have ever been to regular school.
And Jay, you have been a pastor, and you left that responsibility to help found the homeschools organization. Explain the title of it.
That's right, First Class Homeschool Ministries. And we started our first co-op in 2000 in Mount Vernon, Washington. And then as we moved to Vancouver, Washington, started a co-op there and then another one, and was growing and blossoming. Actually, around the country, people were asking, calling and emailing, how do we do what you are doing in Vancouver? And so we realized God's wanting something of us. And so we packaged it up and started helping other people do it, helping churches have a ministry to the homeschooling community.
It was amazing.
And you're really serious about this.
We're very serious about it.
Yeah.
And we're a little not serious sometimes because we have to laugh a lot when you're homeschooling.
Yeah.
But definitely serious about homeschooling. Yeah.
Well, you have written a book called Romance, Nurturing Your Marriage Through the Homeschool Years. You're really honest about the challenges of homeschooling. It's not an unmixed blessing, is it?
No, it isn't. And in fact, Jay and I were talking about this morning. I loved parenting isn't for cowards. And I said to Jay, homeschooling isn't for cowards either.
<That's right. laughs>
You better know why you're doing it. And so the book is really aimed at helping moms remember why they're homeschooling so that when it gets hard, because it anything else it's worth doing, it has its difficult moments. I always tell people there have been many times when I've watched the school bus go down around the corner and I'll think to myself, I wonder if I just ran out there and just asked the guy, I'll give you $5 if you'll just put all my kids on your bus and take them on your route so I can get a shower, you know?
Yeah.
Little things like that that, you know, I want to encourage moms. It's so worth it if you can hang on for the ride. Now that we've graduated our oldest from homeschooling, I can speak with much more authority and confidence seeing her become this beautiful young woman.
Yeah.
It's been absolutely the hardest, best thing we've ever done.
Yet you're about ready to start with a new baby.
It's diapers to diploma. That's what we're doing.
We say that about our program, that it's diapers to diploma. And so we've taken that on as our family. That's our family's slogan as well.
And if I'm not mistaken, you actually were a little reluctant, though, to start this. I mean, somebody tuning in now is hearing all of your enthusiasm,
yeah.
But it wasn't always that
way.
Oh,
no, no. And I always tell people I kind of call myself an accidental homeschooler because we were really not fans of the homeschool movement. We didn't really understand it. A lot of people, when we were younger and first married, a lot of people that we knew that were homeschooling seemed, it seemed like an unattainable goal for us, just really either really, really conservative or academically, I just felt like, how could I spend the time and with my kids all day long? I was used to a traditional school. My grandparents put us through, me and my siblings, through a private Christian school, kindergarten through 12th grade, and that's the experience you take into your adult life is what you know. That's what I knew. And it was really the Lord who did a work in my heart. And he started because our second daughter, Sierra, missed the cutoff to go to school with her sister by just a few days because her birthday fell outside of the parameters that they needed. And so in order to kind of keep her happy, I said, well, I'll teach you. I'll work with you at home. And I realized, I sort of took it on that way, and I realized I could teach her to read. And Jay would come home from work, and I would say, honey, look what I can do. I mean, look what Sierra can do. You know, and she would read a basic word to him, you know, cat or whatever. And at that moment, I realized how much joy I was getting from spending this time with her and teaching her to read and watching her blossom. I mean, she was passing her sister, who was two grades ahead of her in the public school. So we started off kind of cautiously, but once we realized this is amazing and committed to it, that's when our real journey began.
Ryan, as you know, your mom was just an outstanding teacher. She taught public schools for 7 years. If we had known about this sooner, you would have been homeschooled.
Which is why we're doing that with our son, Lincoln. He's going to preschool, and then he's coming home.
Awesome.
So I am very excited about this program, and I read all the prep. I was all excited. I texted Laura. I'm like, we have a homeschool family in here today. So it's just something we want to do. And Lincoln, in all honesty, wasn't made for school. He's a whole lot like me. He's got lots of energy. He's got, you know, he doesn't want to sit, you know, for long periods of time, but he's really smart. And I think forcing him to a traditional school model would hurt him.
That's right. Back to what Dr. Raymore was saying yesterday, Doctor. It's exactly what he was describing.
Our son is that way. And I noticed one day he actually absorbs the material that I'm reading to him when I let him play with something like he's building with his Legos. As long as he's moving, he is absorbing information. But as soon as I make him sit still, it's like something his little brain just shuts off.
Sure. You've
so
got
I totally
to know
to that.
How the individual child
Absolutely.
Thinks and learns. Speaking of differences, there are different approaches to homeschooling, too.
Yeah.
Describe some of the options that are there.
Well, this is a little bit like trying to take a drink from a fire hydrant because there are so many different approaches, but there are some main ones that are sort of mainstream And I think probably one of the biggest one is traditional. People call it school at home. So, and a lot of people, when they first start homeschooling, this is what you do. Because remember I was saying earlier, you kind of take what you know mm-hmm. with you into homeschooling. Yeah. And so it's a good way to start. That'd be more like a traditional approach, like workbooks and traditional textbooks that you can get from a company like Abeka or Alpha
sitting
Omega.
Sitting again.
Yeah, and you're sitting again. And it takes time to kind of figure out what works for you. So people call that school at home because you're basically bringing a classroom home. A lot of people, when they start homeschooling, do what I did. I got, you know, desks at a garage sale. Mm-hmm. I set up my little classroom. But before long, where do you think we ended up?
Kitchen table.
Absolutely. We're at the kitchen table. And Jay was like, wow, that's a lot of wasted space down there in the basement. So we converted it back into a family room again. But my point is that that's how we started also, was at schooling at home. And then eventually we transitioned into something that's called unit studies. And a unit study is basically taking a subject. Like, let's say you're going to study, instead of studying whales in the fourth grade and in the sixth grade, you're studying
Western movement.
Absolutely. Yeah. Maybe you're going to study oceans. And while you're studying the ocean, you're going to talk about Jacques Cousteau, and you're going to learn about different types of vocabulary words that he would have introduced as he was studying the ocean. You're going to learn about whales. You're going to learn about the environment. And you take all kinds of different academic angles, and you study the ocean. So when you're done with that particular unit, you've taken math and science and history mm-hmm. and language and incorporated them into one topic. So that is a wonderful way to do it. That is generally what we do in our home because we have so many children. It makes sense for me to take one topic. Like I tend to write my own unit studies. I like to base them off of missionary stories. So we have studied Corrie Ten Boom. We have studied so many amazing people who have done amazing things for the Lord. And so when we studied Hudson Taylor, for example, we studied China, and we studied what was happening during that time period that Hudson Taylor was serving the Lord, and we learned about indigenous people and God's heart for the people of China, and that just sprouts all kinds of conversations with the kids. When we studied Corrie Ten Boom, we learned about the Holocaust. We studied the Netherlands and Holland and Hitler, and the kids were so fascinated by this because they could relate to a story. If you tell a child a story,
they get it,
and all of a sudden their emotions attached to this particular time period that we're studying, and we actually quit the rest of the thing that I was planning on doing with them, and we just did Corrie Ten Boom for about 3 months, and we studied. It was amazing. We made a huge timeline, put it up on our wall. They never forget. It's amazing.
Dr. Ray Moore put great emphasis on working with your child. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about reading books together. I'm talking about taking the child to a grocery store with you to do the shopping.
That's
and
right.
You learn from that about measurements, and you learn
budgeting.
Budgeting. All kinds of things.
There's so many things that we do every day that have so many other applications that we can teach our children. They can see helping them to understand how we need to follow through with things that we do. I'm just, you know, character building things as well as academic things. All that stuff starts fitting together and is just so much more powerful.
Jay, what is your role in homeschooling?
Well, Heidi is the main educator with the children. Being now that I am, I don't have a full-time job at the church anymore, so I am more flexible. I help more with homeschooling. But I like to encourage dads, which so many dads ask, what can I do? You know, I have a full-time job. I'm not there. I don't even understand all this academic stuff. How could I contribute to it? And I always encourage dads, look, you can be a support to your wife. You don't have to know all the answers of what to do or how it's done, but you can sit down with your wife and say, look, we want to follow God's leading in raising our kids. So I tell the dads, ask your wife what she thinks should be done, and then pray about those things together, discuss them.
Yeah.
Go, if you can, go with your wife to a curriculum store and look at all that's out there. Talk about, you know, all your kids' strengths and weaknesses, what fits with them, and that is huge. And then telling your wife every day, you're doing amazing. I can see the progress.
Don't quit.
Because just like your kids growing, you don't see your child growing every day. You don't physically see it, but they are. And when you're going to work every day and coming home, you see that better than your wife does when they're educating your child.
How do you account for the fact that these kids come out so academically gifted frequently? They're kids that have problems with homeschools mm-hmm. too, but it is amazing how well they do in college, how well they do on standardized tests. And if you don't take the classical approach mm-hmm. to education, mm-hmm. how do they come out with those skills?
That's a great question. I honestly think it's because they're being tutored, basically. You're going from a child who maybe be one of 23 to 30 students to being tutored one-on-one by their mom or their dad. And I think that's the environment in which they're flourishing. And also, you're teaching them to become an independent learner. If we don't know the answer to something, we find it. And while we're looking for that answer as a parent, we're teaching our children how to look for it also. So our kids are very proficient on the internet. If they don't know something, like our son was trying to figure out the history of model airplanes, and he just said, "Mom, do you mind if I get on Google and find out who made the first model airplane?" No, I think, and it's a wonderful opportunity. He's self-directed then, and I think we're teaching these kids, by the time they get out of high school, they are self-motivated, self-directed. They understand the importance of education. They get it.
You're not a credentialed teacher.
No.
Did that scare you in the beginning?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, it scared me. And I realized I didn't need to be scared after Savannah took her very first standardized test. In Washington State, you are required by law to have your kids tested, like the Iowa standardized test or the Cat 5 or something, every year. And when the first year that our kids had to take that test, I knew we were going to be okay. They tested, on average, 3 grade levels above where they were supposed to be. Savannah started
that
testing.
That must have pleased you.
We went out for dinner. I don't mind telling you.
That's right. You had to be terrified before that, though.
Oh, because absolutely.
Because what if they weren't? What if all of a sudden it's, you know, your kids really aren't doing that well?
Yeah.
I mean, that I would just be, I'd be biting my nails every
guilt
day.
Guilt like crazy.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, I very rarely hear about a child who's not flourishing in a homeschool environment, because if the mom doesn't feel comfortable or she's not sure how to do it, she can find help. There are so many resources out there now. The ministry that Jay and I run is just one of them. So it's an incredible opportunity.
Give us the name of it again.
It's First Class Homeschool Ministries.
What's your website?
It's www.firstclasshomeschool.org, and we have about 50 locations now around the United States. Homeschool co-ops that function as ministries of their local church, just like a MOPS program would function as a parachurch ministry or
Can they ask you questions?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. We would welcome
Do they call
it.
You?
Yeah.
Absolutely. We give each church for these co-ops a website and a database system, so they can manage all their classes and the people, the parents and the kids.
So you work largely through the local church.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Heidi, what do you do when you get a call from a mother who says, "I can't do this. I'm exhausted. I never have a minute to myself. And I've got these kids around my knees all day, every day."
I might cry with her.
Yeah.
I might. I love those calls because I've been there so many times myself. And I always tell them, if you need to be talked down out of your tree, you know, here's my phone number. You can call me. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity for me to be real with that mom and say, "Hey, what you're going through, totally normal."
Yeah.
It's totally normal. There's nothing in this life that's worth doing that isn't difficult.
That's right.
And the Lord's going to give you the grace that you need. And then it's just a matter of listening to her, because most of the time there are fears that just are very easily calmed. And it's just a matter of her needing some time for herself, or maybe she needs a little bit of extra encouragement in how to organize her day. A lot of it is just found in being, that encouragement is found in being real and just saying, "You know what? It's totally okay to feel like you don't want to do this anymore. I get it. I've been there." And when I was younger, homeschool mom, Diana Waring, who's a friend of mine and has written an amazing history curriculum that's now published by Answers in Genesis, she came to speak at an event that I coordinated. And at the end of it, she said, "Does anyone have any questions?" And here I'm, you know, relatively new homeschool mom, but I'm leading this huge group. And I raised my hand, and before I could even get the rest of my sentence, I just started crying. "I can't do it anymore. We don't ever finish our whole math assignment." I mean, I was blubbering. And she walked right up to me, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. She put her hand on my shoulder and she said, "Woman, be loosed." You know, and I thought, well, that's embarrassing. But she went on to tell me, "You're expecting too much. You're missing the blessing of homeschooling by expecting all of this of your children. This isn't a classroom. This is your home. And integrate your children into it." And that was the beginning. Savannah was in fourth grade at that point. That was the beginning of me realizing this is a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I need to change the way that I'm looking at this. And I went home and I told Jay, "I think I've got a little bit more of the piece to the puzzle now."
But Heidi, you've mentioned get real a couple of times. And I've got to tell you, someone listening is thinking, well, you're Superwoman. And I can picture the mom sitting there going, there's no way. Yeah. I can't even get dinner on the table. And now you're telling me I'm going to teach a unit on Roman history.
Yeah.
I just can't get past that. Talk to her.
I think that's a great question. I started out very simply with my kids. And I always tell parents, when you start out homeschooling, stick to the core subjects. You want to do reading, read with your kids, and teach them some. Anybody can do second grade math, right? Pick up a math workbook at Walmart and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's not that difficult. Mm-hmm. What I discovered when I talk about Roman studies is instead of teaching each one of our kids history separately, science separately, math separately, I realized I can take a history book and sit down and read to them like it's a story. And we'll sit around for probably 3 hours and we're reading and they're absorbing this information. And when that's done, they're taking off into kind of different places in the house and they're writing about what they've learned. And we're learning together. I've grown into homeschooling. I didn't start out doing it that way. I was terrified of homeschooling when I started. And I had to go in a little bit at a time. And when it was difficult, I was honest enough with the moms around me who were seasoned to say, I don't think I can do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm in over my head. And the Lord in his mercy every single time has brought someone along who said, no, you can do it.
Though, I tell you what, do your kids love it?
They do. Although I love to teach moms who have reluctant writers, because I have reluctant writers in my house, especially the boys. It's not a piece of cake to teach a boy to write, you know, or teach them grammar. And my son, this is how I learned he was a kinesthetic learner. I was trying to get him to write a paper on something we've been reading. And the older girls, I was like, hey, just give me, you know, a few sentences on Thomas Jefferson. Amazing. You know, we've been studying. We've read about Monticello. Let's do it. Let's write. And they're like, fine, you know. So they went to write, but they weren't super excited. But my son immediately started crying. His wrist went limp. I can't write. It hurts my hand. And I started crying. Because he was crying, I'm crying, I'm thinking I'm never going to get through this. And finally, in absolute desperation, I put my hands up and I said, fine, you don't like Thomas Jefferson, what do you like? And he kind of perked up and he said, I like Legos, of course, like, you know, every 9-year-old boy, I like Legos. And still I'm feeling desperate. And I said, that's fine. How about this? Instead of writing about Thomas Jefferson, because the goal wasn't to get him to understand Thomas Jefferson, remember, the goal was to get him to write.
Yeah.
So I said, let's write about Legos. And that kid lit up like a Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. He wrote for me 2 pages. He was downloading pictures of Legos. Do you know the history of this Lego? We found out that the guy who started Legos actually started out building miniature houses. And Skylar was fascinated. And that, because he was interested, it brought out the learner in him and the writer in him. And that was, I mean, these are light bulb moments for me, because I'm realizing I don't have to stick to a set curriculum. So we have tremendous freedom to figure out what it is that our kids are really fascinated by and what it is that we like to teach. So you find out what you're like. I've learned that I am an auditory learner, mm-hmm. because I'm homeschooling. I love to listen to things. Well, my daughter Savannah is a visual learner. She likes to read. And so if she reads and Sierra listens, they're happy. It took me a while to figure that out. And that's the benefit. I think if you cannot get scared and overwhelmed by looking ahead, just look where you are.
Well, Heidi and Jay, this has been so enlightening and so inspirational for me. I think you all, Ryan and Luann, have felt the same way.
It's exciting. It really is.
Well, their enthusiasm is contagious, that's for sure.
It is. And Heidi particularly, but both of you are not just talking theoretically. You've been there. You've done it. And you have answers to the questions that people ask because you've heard them 1,000 times. And I've got about 1,000 more. And so will you come back?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Okay. The name of the book that you've written, which we didn't talk about today, is The Busy Homeschool Mom's Guide to Romance, Nurturing Your Marriage Through the Homeschool Years. A lot of practical stuff here.
Absolutely.
And we will, sooner or later, talk about that here on Family Talk. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And we will look forward to that for sure. In the meantime, our listeners can get more information about you and your ministry, First Class Homeschools, at our website, myfamilytalk.com. Also there, you can listen into the program we aired yesterday with Dr. Raymond Moore, that classic conversation Dr. Dobson referred to at the top of today's program.
That's right, Luann. Or if you'd prefer to get a CD copy of that program, of what you've heard today and yesterday, call us. We'd like to send you a complimentary copy at 877-732-6825. 877-732-6825.
And this quick reminder before we go, Family Talk is a listener-supported radio broadcast. Your donations really do help us continue this work of helping families with issues like the schooling discussion you've heard today. You can donate when you call or online, and it's all at myfamilytalk.com.
Hello, Dr. Dobson and Shirley. This is Nancy Lee DeMoss with Revive Our Hearts. And I just want to thank you for reflecting the covenant-keeping love of God through your faithfulness to Him and to each other over these past 50 years.
Hi, Jim and Shirley. This is Mark Early at Prison Fellowship and with the Point Radio program. Just wanted to say how grateful we are for both of you and congratulations on 50 years of marriage. Your life has meant so much to so many, including my wife and I. We wish you many, many more years of happy marriage and happy ministry.
This is Luann Crane. And on behalf of all of us here at Family Talk, we add our warmest congratulations to Dr. and Mrs. Dobson on reaching this milestone. In honor of the event, we'd like to send you a commemorative magazine full of Dobson photos and stories. Give us a call, 1-877-732-6825. 877-732-6825 and request your copy.